Father and God, we thank you for this moment. We pray that you will give us understanding of your word in Jesus' name. Holy Spirit, we ask that you will brood upon your word. Let your word create, let it heal, let it deliver. Let your word perform every work that it is sent to do from the Master. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Brethren, the title of this message this morning, like I said, they will be scratching it because it is far more than this. The title of this message is The Anointer, The Anointing, and The Anointed. Each of these three, components can take us a long time. But today we are just going to go through as much as God gives us the ability. The Anointer, The Anointing, and The Anointed. I'll read from Numbers chapter 12. I'm going to read the entire scripture, the entire passage, 16 verses, at the risk of not being able to also finish. But like I said, we will do as much as we can do about it. Numbers 12 from verse 1. And Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married. For he had married an Ethiopian woman. I was just wondering, look at this emphasis. Because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married, for he had married an Ethiopian woman. That scripture is saying, because he really did do it. He really did it. And they said, hath the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Are they not spoken also by us? And the Lord heard it. The Lord heard it. Now the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. And the Lord spake suddenly unto Moses and unto Aaron and unto Miriam, come out ye three unto the tabernacle of the congregation. And they three came out. And the Lord came down in the pillar of the cloud and stood in the door of the tabernacle and called Aaron and Miriam, and they both came forth. And he said, hear now my words. If there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision, and will speak unto him in a dream. My servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all my house. With him will I speak mouth to mouth, even apparently, and not in dark speeches. And the similitude of the Lord shall he behold. Wherefore, then, were ye not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? Verse 9. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against them, and he departed. That is, the Lord departed from them. And the cloud departed from off the tabernacle, and behold, Miriam became leprous, white as snow. And Aaron looked upon Miriam, and behold, she was leprous. And Aaron said unto Moses, alas, my Lord, I beseech thee, lay not the sin upon us, wherein we have done foolishly, and wherein we have sinned. Let her not be as one dead, of whom the flesh is half consumed when he cometh out of his mother's womb. And Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, heal her now, O God, I beseech thee. And the Lord said unto Moses, if her father had but spit in her face, should she not be ashamed 7 days? Let her be shut out from the camp 7 days, and after that let her be received in again. Verse 15. And Miriam was shut out from the camp 7 days, and the people journeyed now till Miriam. The people journeyed not till Miriam was brought in again. And afterward, the people removed from Hazeroth and pitched in the wilderness of Paran. May the Lord bless the reading and the hearing of his word in Jesus' name. So we will be talking about the Anointer, the Anointing, and the Anointed. This scripture tells us so much, and we'll just go, one at a time to the lessons that we can learn from that scripture. We all know that the Lord, God is the anointer. God, the anointing comes from God. Of course, there are evil, and people have satanic anointings, but we are not talking about those today. That's not going to be our focus. We are talking about the true anointing that comes from God. So we cannot be talking about the anointed or the anointing or the anointed without first talking about the anointer. And God is the anointer. I believe it's very important for us to have understanding of the anointing and the anointed, so that we can benefit maximally from the anointing of God. We can benefit maximally from the anointing of God that is upon our lives. All of us are anointed. Just like Aaron and Miriam, they were also anointed. All of us are anointed. I mean, I don't know whether you know it. I don't know whether you believe it. But you are anointed. All of us are anointed. In one measure or the other, you have the anointing of God upon your life. And I want you to believe that. I want you to realize that today. So that when we comport ourselves, we comport ourselves as the anointed of God. When you go about, you should go about like somebody who is anointed of God. You know, wherever you find yourself, know that you are a representative of God. Because you have the anointing of God upon your life. God has released a measure of the anointing upon your life. So the anointer is God Almighty, the one that we have all come to serve. And that is what I'm going to say about that. And then the anointing, what is the anointing? I know if I ask us to begin to describe the anointing, you know, we have different explanations. But there's one that is interesting. Someone was interpreting a message for a man of God, and he was going to interpret in Yoruba language for those of us who understand Yoruba here. And then the man of God mentioned anointing, and the man who was going to interpret in Yoruba said, "Idagiri emi mimo." You know what idagiri means? Those of us who understand Yoruba, idagiri means to shiver, you know, to shake like this. So the man did not have any other interpretation for the anointing but to say, "That which makes somebody to shiver like this." Of course, he was right, because the anointing does that many times, but not all the time. Not all the time. It's not all the time that the anointing of God makes us to fall down. And that's not what the anointing really is for. Not for us to fall down. I have a friend who was under administration one day, and he saw that everybody was falling down. And they laid hands on him, and he didn't fall. He was trying to shake his legs, whether he too should fall down. Because he got a different understanding of the anointing of God. Even though the anointing of God can make people fall down, the anointing, that is not all that the anointing is about. And people can fall down and rise up, and nothing happens to them. But the anointing of God has a lot of ways by which we can understand it. In the book of Acts of Apostles, chapter 1 and chapter 13, verses 1 to 3. Acts 13, 1 to 3. "Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius the Cyrene, and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. And in verse 2, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid hands on them, they sent them away." So we can see one of the things that the anointing of God does for us to have some understanding of the anointing of God. The anointing of God separates. The anointing of God separates us from the multitude. It separates us. Even in a church, the anointing of God separates one person from another by the reason of the assignment that God has given to them. So the anointing of God is for a responsibility. We have our ushers there. They have the anointing of God on them for the work that God has given to them. The Bible says the Holy Ghost himself says, "Separate unto me Paul, Barnabas, and Simeon." Saul and Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger. He said, "The Holy Ghost says, separate them unto me, because I have work for them." He has a work he wanted to give unto them. And that is why he wanted them to be separated unto him. And so, in different capacities where we serve in the church of God, we have an anointing. And that's why I said all of us are anointed. Even if we are not serving in any capacity, maybe we are just, you know, we just come as members. We have an anointing. We probably have not put it to use. But there's an anointing of God upon your life. So the anointing of God is that which separates us for the work of God. The anointing of God is that is the power and the presence of God. In the book of Acts of Apostles, chapter 10, verse 38, the Bible says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil. The Bible says, for God was with him. God was with him, and that was the anointing of God. So the anointing of God is the presence of God that is with us. I'm laying a foundation. The anointing of God is the presence of God. And so, if we want to increase it in the anointing of God upon our lives, it means that we need to increase in the measure of the presence of God that is upon our lives. Because the anointing of God is the presence of God. When you see people who have stayed in the presence of God, then you have seen the anointed of God. The more time we spend in the presence of God, the more the anointing of God that rubs upon us. And that's what happened to Moses. Moses was the one who stayed and stayed and stayed in the presence of God. Unfortunately, Aaron and Miriam wanted to compare themselves with him. The one that God, and the levels of their assignments were different. God gives us the anointing based on, he doesn't waste his anointing. God does not waste it. He gives you the anointing commensurate with the work he has committed into your hands. He doesn't waste it. And so if God moves you from one level of responsibility to another, he will give you the anointing for it. And you also are entitled to ask him for the anointing commensurate with that new level. There is no work that we do in the house of God that we don't do with the anointing of God. We don't do it with our physical strength. We do it with the anointing of God. So the anointing of God is the presence of God. A man of God shared his testimony. He said, he boarded a plane, and as he entered, one of the hostesses came, and he entered, he passed the hostess, he went to sit down, and that lady came and asked him, sir, can I know you? And then I think he introduced himself, because the hostess said, as soon as you passed, I felt something. Because she felt the presence of God, she felt the anointing of God in that man of God. And that's what all of us should trust God to be able to, you know, to carry the presence of God so much that when we move, people know that we, you know, the God is here. So that when we get to a place, people will feel the presence of God there. So that when we step into a place where there's trouble, there will be calm because of the presence of God that we carry. So the anointing of God is the presence of God. The anointing of God is the power of God. In 1 Samuel 16:13, the Bible says, then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren. That is, he anointed. We all remember the story of how God sent Samuel to go and anoint David to be king. So in 1 Samuel 16:13, then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. That is, the Spirit of God came upon David as soon as the anointing rested upon him. So the anointing of God is the Spirit of God. The anointing of God is the presence of God. The anointing of God is the power of God. So we carry, because of the anointing of God upon our lives, we carry the Spirit of God, we carry the presence of God, we carry the power of God. I believe that someone today will realize that that's who they are in Jesus' name. The anointing of God is that which brings the extraordinary out of an ordinary man. That is, the anointing of God, the Bible says that we have this treasure in earthen vessel, that the excellency of power may be of God and not of man. That is, God gives his anointing into that vessel that does not believe that they are the one at work, they are the one doing it. It doesn't put his anointing into that person who is still full of themselves. That's why Brother Paul said that I die daily. He said, I die daily. He said, I decrease so that it may increase. That is, the less of us we consist in, the more of God we consist in. The less of us we are consumed with, that the more of us we are consumed with, the less of God we have, we carry. The less of the Spirit of God we carry. And what that means is that if we want to increase in the anointing of God, in the presence of God, in the power of God, then we need to let God dispossess us of those things that are occupying our vessels. Because the Bible says we have this treasure in earthen. Earthen vessels mean vessels that, you know, vessels that don't regard themselves. They don't regard themselves. They don't regard themselves as the ones at work. They don't see themselves. They don't share the glory with God. That is the kind of vessel that God is looking for. Miriam and Aaron, they still had a measure of themselves in themselves. And that's why they were able to say, is God not speaking to us too? Are we not also prophets? Don't we also hear God? Why is it that it's Moses that has all the, you know, like I was working, you know, I have the co-worker who unfortunately got fired this week, who came and then said, why is it that I get away with a lot of things and she doesn't get away with those things? I'm like, you can't compare us on so many grounds that, you know, time won't allow me to begin to share. And then this week she just saw me and she said, it's nice knowing you because today is my last day. I said, okay. So they wanted to begin to compare themselves with Moses. And that's why somebody said we can be age mates, but we are not grace mates. We can be age mates, we are not anointing mates. When God lavishes his anointing on someone, if he puts his anointing in an earthen vessel, a golden vessel cannot say, because you are an earthen vessel, because you are made of clay, I am made of gold, I'm superior. No. That was what, you know, was going to happen. Maybe they were looking at Moses, but Moses is a stammerer now, and we are the ones talking. We are the ones that can talk. Why is it Moses that is getting away with a lot of things? And then God heard it. I don't know what we are doing. I believe that this message is going to make some of us to repent of some of the things that maybe we have done or we are doing. We make some of us to understand who we are so that we can position ourselves the way we need to position ourselves. We make some of us to pray for some people who have looked down upon us because they have looked down upon the anointed of God. Because some people are in captivity right now, maybe because they have spoken things they should not have spoken against you. And they did not know that you are an anointed of God. Like I said, that anointing is in levels. Your own anointing may not be so much that you have laid hands on somebody and they tumbled and tumbled. But you have an anointing of God upon your life. And that's why I believe that this is something that we call up all of us to begin to take maximum benefit of the anointing of God. Because when we repent of what we need to repent of, then we can be... Moses had to pray for Miriam before Miriam could be restored back. Even then, God still said, let her stay for 7 days outside the camp. Unfortunately, he stopped the children of Israel from moving forward for those 7 days because they had to wait for him. So sometimes there is someone whose disdain of the anointed of God will keep a flock of God stranded. But it can only be for a while. It can only be for a while. Because of the disdain of the anointed and the anointing of God, you know, someone's action may want to frustrate the work of the other people, but it can only be for a while. And so maybe you need to pray for somebody today who has talked over you, who has looked down on you, not knowing that they are doing that against the anointed of God. So it brings the extraordinary out of the ordinary person. And perhaps there is somebody who already has a lot of, you know, personal, physical treasures in themselves. What God does, if God is going to put his anointing in that person, is to dispossess the person. He dispossesses that person of their claim to fame. That is what happened to our father in the Lord, the general overseer, who was a mathematician extraordinary. But God showed him that it is not mathematics that will take you there. And so God made him, he made him to be able to know that without him, that is without God, he is going to be nothing. So that is what happens when God is going to use a man. That's what happened to Saul. We all know how Saul made a praise of himself, how big he was. And we all know the works in the hands of Saul. It was Saul at that time. But God needed to stop him on the way to Damascus. And he blinded him. So that he came to the end of himself. Because God needed him. God wanted him. God wanted to fill him with the anointing. And God did not want self to take over. God did not want to share the glory with anybody. That's why God arrested him, dispossessed him of whoever he thought he was. Whatever he claimed to his fame, God dispossessed him of it, and he went to submit himself to the man of God who prayed for him. And then God began to use him. So that's what the anointing of God does. Brings us out so that God may fill us. And even concerning David, we all know that he was the youngest of them all. And he was the one that was least recognized. There was virtually no ovation for him when he was brought in to be, you know, to be paraded before Samuel. He was not even there among those that they invited, because nobody thought he was going to be the carrier of the anointing of God. But God picked him up. I was looking at, you know, some of they are all over on the YouTube. Baba Akindayomi, the founder of this ministry, was a farmer. He was a farmer, and he had a passion to be a trader, a successful trader, before God caught up with him and took over an illiterate man who began to speak English without knowing that he was speaking English, who began to read and write without being schooled. That is what the anointing of God does. Brings the extraordinary out of the ordinary. In the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7, I want to read the New Living Translation of the scripture that I quoted in KJV. 2 Corinthians 4, 7, New Living Translation. It says, "We now have this light shining in our hearts, but we ourselves are like fragile clay jars containing this great treasure." He says, we are like fragile clay jars containing this great treasure. This makes it clear that our great power is from God, not from ourselves. Because we are like frail, very fragile jars of clay. And we are containing this anointing of God. You are containing this anointing of God. But that makes us to realize that this is from God, it is not from us. Whatever you are doing in the house of God, it is God, it is not you. Because it is God that filled you. The anointing of God is not according to man, it is according to God. 1 Samuel 16:7. "But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance, or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh in the heart." So it is not, the anointing is not according to man. It's not man that measures it. It's God. So God is the only one that knows his yardstick. He's the only one that decides to put it on somebody. And whoever God puts his anointing upon has to be accorded, you know, the honor that the anointing deserves. Not because of maybe their age, not because of maybe what they possess physically, but because of the anointing of God. You and I know that many people are making obeisance to the president today because he's in the White House. The day he leaves the White House, he will know how many people are his friends. In fact, even now he knows, because the day they parade somebody out, they say, okay, I don't need your service again. You see that person will now start saying all the negative things about him and all that. So it is when they are inside the White House. They are giving him that accord because they are in the White House, because of that office. So the anointing of God is what deserves to be honored. For anything at all, if we don't have, if there's nothing at all, why we need to give accord to the, give, you know, honor to the anointed of God. If there's no other reason, the reason of the anointing of God being on them is enough. Is enough. I've seen somebody who had to pray for, you know, a sister because the sister, you know, just disobeyed, did not honor the anointing of God on their life. And then the sister began to fall sick and sick and sick and sick. And thank God that she realized why she was falling sick repeatedly and returned back. And then the anointed of God had to pray for her before she was made whole. So even if there is no other reason why we need to give regard to the anointed of God, the fact that they carry the anointing of God is enough. And applies to all of us. Applies to our leaders in our different, you know, units. Applies to the head of usher, head of, you know, whatever group, the children, needs to be accorded that regard because of the office they occupy. Because there's an anointing for that office. As soon as somebody steps into it, there's an anointing there. And that she carries and he carries that anointing. And the anointing, Jesus Christ, the Bible says that he was anointed without measure. But for all of us, we have a measured amount of anointing. But even the measure of anointing that we have is in levels. Is in levels. And that's why even though Aaron and Miriam were anointed, their anointing was in a level lower than Moses. And they needed to give accord to Moses. They needed to respect him for that anointing. Same thing for the children of Israel, the rest of them, they needed to give accord to Miriam and Aaron because they carry the anointing of God. These are the things that will either make us to benefit from the anointing of God or not to benefit from the anointing of God. The Bible says in 2 Chronicles 20:20, it says, "Believe the Lord your God and you shall be established. Believe his prophet and you shall prosper." So what that means is that if we believe the prophet of God, then we will get that prophet's reward. We will prosper because we believe. Let me take, you know, cite an example. Let's come back home once again. Recently, we had this 50 days of agreement, you know, that the servant of God said, okay, God said we should go into this. I don't know how many of us took it seriously. If you take it seriously, you get the seriously reward. If you don't take it seriously, you don't get, that's the way it is. It's just as simple as that. Because the anointing makes us to possess what belongs to us in an easier way than to labor and labor for it. It makes us to be a recipient of what belongs to us in an easier way. Because God has put that anointing there and the anointing flows from the head. And so once the anointing flows, we are just to, you know, just benefit maximally freely without laboring from those things. You know, I thank God I had somebody who recognized it very well as my partner. Even when he moved outside, you know, Kansas, he was still calling. And then I moved, he was away, I was away. I went to Wisconsin, he was in Texas. We would still call. And we continued and continued and continued like that. And he wants us to continue. Because we both have testimonies of what God did in our lives, in our families in those days. He still wants us to continue. We are still, you know, we are still trying to work things out. We are still calling and texting back and forth, back and forth. It's all about obedience, brethren. It's all about obedience. It's all about how we position ourselves to benefit from the anointing of God. Brethren, because the anointing of God can both benefit us and can be very dangerous. Miriam and Aaron, they saw the danger in the anointing. They saw the danger. They saw that it can be very dangerous to look down on the anointed because of the anointing of God on their lives. Miriam became leprous. Another example in 2 Kings 5:20-27 was Gehazi. We all know the servant of Elisha. The one who thought that, why will my master be used to heal Naaman of his leprosy and will not collect anything? And then he ran after Naaman and he said, we want to take something. The Bible says he also became leprous. It looks like leprosy was so easy to measure on those who disobeyed the anointing of God in those days. Because he also became leprous because he went and he lied against the anointed of God that the prophet said I should collect something. Ananias and Sapphira, Acts 5, we all know about them. They lied before the anointed of God. They said, oh, we sold this land for this much. Or maybe for this little now. Because they did not declare everything. And then they died in the presence of God there. In the presence of the anointed of God. Because they lied in the presence of the anointing. So the anointing can be so dangerous. Uzzah in 2 Samuel 6, 6 to 7. Uzzah also saw the danger of the anointing. Because he wanted to occupy the priest's office. It was the priest that was supposed to carry the ark of God. And then Uzzah saw that the ark shook. And then he tried to stabilize it. You can't stabilize it. You can't just usurp. God has not given you that responsibility. I have a vision. You have a vision. Two visions. No. It's only one person that God gave the vision to. And others will submit it. Submit theirs. And see where it falls. If it doesn't fall into that, then you surrender your vision. You leave it. That is the way God works. Uzzah thought he could just join the priests, but he didn't have that honor. The Bible says, no man takes this honor upon himself, but he that is called of God, as was Aaron. Brethren, let's know where God has placed us. Let us be faithful in it. It is faithfulness that God rewards. The faithfulness of somebody who is not seen doing some, maybe their own responsibility in church is what nobody sees. Maybe they come after everybody has gone. That person may be the most rewarded in this whole place. That's the way God works. It is faithfulness in what God has committed, even if it's so little compared to what God has committed to every other person. That faithfulness may be much more, that reward may be much more. When they came to arrest Jesus Christ, I'm just citing a few examples of where we can see how the anointing of God can, you know, can just work and maybe mete out judgment. John 18, 6, when they came to arrest Jesus Christ and they were asking, who is Jesus Christ among you people? And then he introduced himself. He said, I am he. The Bible says they all fell back and they fell to the ground because of the anointing of God. But the anointing of God has so many benefits. And that is the aspect that I believe that we need to pay attention to. Because in benefiting from the anointing of God, then we'll be different. Then we'll be separate from them all. In benefiting from the anointing of God, then people will know that we have been with God. They will see the presence of God, the power of God in our lives. When David was anointed, and he was supposed to be king, the Bible says that he had an opportunity to kill Saul. But he said, no, he will not touch the anointed of God. Because he respected the anointed of God. And then he finally became king. Because he respected the anointed of God. He still derived the benefit of the anointing of God. The Bible says, touch not my anointed and do my prophet no harm. Brethren, that applies to you. That applies to all of us. Applies to you in the sense that nobody should be able to touch you because you are the anointed of God. Nobody should be able to do you harm because you are the anointed of God. And nobody should be able to do us as a church any harm because this is an anointed church of God. And in the same way, we should not seek to do anyone, even if they are not an anointed of God. But more so for an anointed of God, should not be done any harm. We should not be found there where we are doing things against the anointed of God. Because you are an anointed of God as well. You want to be respected. You want the anointing of God upon your life to work for you. And that is the same reason why you also need to treat the anointed of God the way that you also need to be treated. In closing, I just want to say one thing because of our time. And like I said, this is something we can, you know, talk about so many of these pieces for a long time. But I just want to say something in closing, that how can we be anointed? Or how can we increase in the anointing of God upon our lives? We are all anointed. By the time we gave our lives to Jesus Christ, He gave us a measure of the Holy Spirit, and that's a measure of the anointing. But in the book of Psalms chapter 45, verse 7, Psalms 45, verse 7, the Bible says that thou lovest righteousness, and you hatest in wickedness. Therefore, God, thy God, had anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. So, loving righteousness, and not that is not enough. Hating wickedness. We don't only have to love righteousness, we need to hate wickedness. We don't need to join them in doing wickedness. We don't need to love the wickedness that they do. If we love righteousness and we participate in wickedness, then we have negated the love we have for righteousness. So God wants us to love righteousness, and He wants us to hate wickedness. He wants us to hate the ways of sin. And the Bible says, then the Lord thy God will anoint you with the oil of gladness above your fellow. Then the Lord will lift you up above your fellow. Then the Lord will shower His blessings upon you above your fellows. And that is what we need to do this morning. I want you to rise up and ask the Almighty God this morning. The grace to love righteousness and to hate wickedness. To love righteousness and to hate wickedness. Because that is what will increase the anointing of God upon your life. I want you to ask the Lord this morning and say, Father, the grace to love righteousness and to hate wickedness. Father, let it be released upon my life today. I want you to ask Him today and say, Father, in any way that I have looked upon the anointed of God, Father, in any way that I have looked upon, I have looked down on the anointed of God, Father, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me, O God. In any way that I have disdained the anointing that is upon your anointed, Father, have mercy on me.